But our speaker tonight, he spent a lot of time researching. Our speaker tonight spent a lot of time trying to find out what his truth is. And I believe we're all going to enjoy hearing what he's found to be his truth, because that's what it's all up to each of us to find our pathway home. And if we watch and listen, we find little signposts all along the way. And Dave just might be one of those signposts. He's good to look at anyway. Dave Hamill.
Good evening, friends. You know, it's so interesting how Spirit works with all of us. And so many times tonight in this half hour that we've been here, we've hit on themes over and over about what I wanted to talk about. And that's no accident that that happens. And it's no accident that you are, each of you, sitting here tonight. Because something has brought you here. Your soul is working on levels that we don't understand, but it's no accident that you're here. Kathy was talking about the Law of Attraction and The Secret. That's one of my favorite movies. I've watched it a few times and always get something different out of it. But that whole concept they're talking about energy, and how we've talked tonight about how like attracts like. And when you come into this room, or if you're at Sunday church, you can just feel it in here. And we always, Millie, when she starts on Sunday, she always talks about, you feel the love in the room, and you can feel it in here right now. And it's so wonderful to be in this atmosphere, and it's so easy to come up here and talk when you have all these beautiful smiling faces out here, and you can feel all the love in the room. So what happens when we walk out of here, and all of a sudden it's not, we don't have that energy with us, and we have upset, and we have anger or tension in our lives? And what I've come to realize, as Millie said, and it's so funny because I use this all the time when I'm talking, is that I want to give glory to God and the angels for whatever comes out, and it's something that helps anyone. And if you have complaints, you don't like it, I'll take those. That's my part. But everything and anything I say tonight, none of this is true. And I mean that in that these are my truths. And hopefully my truth might be a signpost to your truth. And if I can serve as a signpost to your truth, then that's great for me. I'm happy to do that. But more importantly is that each one of you gets to decide whether or not that's truth for you. And that's the wonderful thing about it, because we hear so many different things, we can read so many different books and hear all these other things that are out there. But nobody but you gets to decide whether that's your truth and whether that really resonates with you. And that's what's so wonderful as we go through this path and this journey on Earth, is that we get exposed to so many different things. But when it comes down to it, nobody can tell you what it is that is your truth. Now, you may have been raised in a religion that was brought to you as a very young child, and you just learned it by rote and things like that. And as you get older, sometimes we find out that, you know, some of those things don't serve us really well, but that's what we were brought up with. And it becomes very difficult to separate that and find out what's really truth for us. So I urge each and every one of you to really look within as to what really feels right with you. And run it through your God self and accept that part of it. That doesn't mean you have to throw all of it away. But there's some truth and some important doctrine for you that you can tell yourself. Nobody else can tell you. Somebody else may be trying to teach something else. And if it doesn't feel right to you, it's still, that's the wonderful thing. You get to decide. So when we get outside of this room and we feel that energy that's different and it doesn't feel right, you know, what is that about? And so many times I find out that when I'm tight, when I'm not feeling love, because I think you can either come from love or you can come from fear. And there's not a whole lot of other choice. It's just degrees of love changing into little degrees of fear and great fear over here and great love on this side. So we need to be really present to where we are and what is it that we're feeling. And I can tell you every time when my stomach starts feeling tight, it's because I've just tightened up and I'm coming from fear. And there's something that I'm afraid of or I'm not, and I just can't accept. And this whole thing with the law of attraction is really getting into and accepting and really thinking about what it is that you want and just opening up. They have this great special effect in the movie when somebody gets that and just says, that's what I want. And it's like this explosion comes out and you see the shock wave going out over the whole earth. And that's that law coming into effect because that's what we are. It's vibration. Each one of us is vibration. Everything we think is a vibration. This is a world of form. Things come from nothing and come into form. Each one of us came from nothing and came into form. And we'll stay in form for a while, and then guess what? We're going back out of form again. This building was nothing, came into form, is here, and eventually will go away. It's all on vibration. So when we get in our heart, because this is our center of our vibration, we can really control and figure out what it is that we want to have in our life. But what happens is it seems like we get out there in the real world and everybody's taking snipes and pot shots. Sometimes I'm walking around and I feel like I'm back at, you know, in grade school again with the things that I hear and the way people react. And for you young people, if you look at everybody in here, they may look older, but in their minds, they're just about the same age that you guys are. And we get stuck, and, you know, if you ask them, how old are you? Well, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm probably physically 28, but mentally, you know, 10 or 12. And we go through, and we react from that level sometimes. But when we really get love, and you get, that's so wonderful about here and in this church, is that we get to come into a space that is so loving. And it really starts at the top. And it starts with our pastor, Millie, who sets up this wonderful vibration for us. Because is she not just the essence of love? And we're so blessed to have her to set this and be such a great example for us. And as Millie said, the healing stools back there, it's so wonderful. And really, as healers, Ruthie and I always have this joke when we come out and we'll say, how you doing? We see each other at church. And if either one of us has been a healer that morning, you just have this kind of glassy-eyed smile and you smile at the other person and you go, yeah, it's healing. And you don't even want to talk because you are so filled with love and such a beautiful uplift. And Millie's classes that she gives, it's the same thing. We get to go and experience that wonderful love from the other side that is just so uplifting and so beautiful. And it really just carries you. It's just like it's, you just get in the flow of things. So when we're outside and we're not in that flow, it's important for us to get present to that. So we keep looking out on the external things. But really what's going on is it's here inside. You know, there's some disconnect. There's something that's going on in here that's not back in that love flow. And I remember when Jesus said, you know, what he said to have no other gods before God and to love each other as you love yourself. And the only thing I can figure out on that side is that 2,000 years ago, things must have been really different. Because I think we are loving each other as we love ourselves. And we're not, because I don't think we really love ourselves the way we need to. You look around our world and you see all the wars and all the discontent and the poverty and things that are going on. And it's very difficult to do something about that on a global scale. But if we change our heart and we take responsibility for just our being and who we're being, then we can change the world one heart, one soul at a time. So it's important for us to really get who we are, that we're this wonderful, incredible soul, this wonderful child of God. And to do justice to that and not get, you know, back down into the sandbox, kicking sand at each other and getting upset about all this petty stuff. So often I think we really have taken God, and if we are made in God's image, That's great. But what I think I end up doing, and a lot of us end up doing, is that we keep remaking God in our image. And we make this incredible energy because God is love. If you take, and some people have baggage with the word God, take God out of it, and every time you read God, say love. Or say life. Life is eternal. Love is eternal. God is eternal. And each one of us is eternal. And when you can do that and get over some of this baggage that we have, then we can start this heart just glowing and spreading this wonderful energy. It's interesting what I do to myself sometimes, that I keep myself from love. It just amazes me when I step back and see where I am. So I've created a new golden rule. I call it the Golden Rule Revisited. And what, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, the Golden Rule Revisited is do unto yourself as you would have others do unto you. And start with you. Too often we're out there trying to fix the other guy. I can tell you all of your problems. I can tell you what you're doing wrong. You know, it's like, you know, what did Christ say? You know, you can see a speck in somebody else's eye, but you can't see the log in your own. And that's what we end up doing. We get fixated on other people and what their problem is. Oh, she'd just do that, or if he'd do that, or, you know, those kind of things. And we get into that judgmental thing. I had a gal in my office one day, and I don't know how we got on the subject, but we got talking about heaven and hell and judgment. And I said, you know, I just don't think God is judgmental. I don't think he really judges us. He loves us too much. Why would he judge us? And she goes, oh, he judges. And I said, really? Why? And she said, well, he has to. And I said, well, why? And she said, well, somebody's got to, you know, talk to get that guy who's been, you know, cutting me off in traffic and stuff. And, you know, somebody's got to make him pay a price for it. You know, and there we are again, back on the schoolyard. Rather than just realize that stuff doesn't matter. It's not what is important, and it's not what really grows our soul and helps us to really move forward. So instead of being judgmental and putting those things onto God, because if we make God a judgmental God, then it's okay for us to judge. But if we realize that God is not judgmental, then who are we to judge? So we keep throwing these human traits back on God, and we sort of have this incredible energy of love that created the entire universe and is everywhere and everything and knows everything that goes on. We make him a little puny god. So we make this little puny god that has these human traits. And then we distance ourselves from him. We've taken, you know, I keep reading and I see, I love the Discovery Channel and some of those that have the they'll talk about Christ, they'll have actors, and they'll go through what they think it was like at the time that Christ was here. And each one of them, I always see Jesus is walking with the people. We know that he didn't really associate with the, you know, the rich and the highfalutin. He was more of a man of the people. And he was more, to me, like a brother. But so often we sit and we take him and we put him on such a pedestal and put him so far out there. I'm not sure with the Hubble Space Telescope we could see him. We have him so far out and so far removed. And it makes it really safe for us because we put him on such an incredible pedestal, there's no way that we could ever be like him, but I don't think that was his teaching. I think his teaching was really that all the things I have done, you will do these and more. But it feels a lot easier for us to put him way out there and just go, no way I can do that. Are you kidding? Look what he did. But his teachings were consistent with what we have done, he has done, we can do, and that he is a man just like us. But what his breakthrough was really understanding and knowing God. I had this great quote the other day that I was reading that said, you have to know that God is present in order to experience that God is present. Now, you read that, and on one hand, you can go, well, duh, of course you got to. You don't know that, how can you experience it? But when you get it out of just the words and the linguistics, and you really get that feeling, You have to know that God is present in order to experience that God is present. I'm sorry, in order to experience that God is present, right? So when you start getting that at this level, then it starts changing your whole experience of life. Life starts transforming. What has been struggle can become ease by knowing. This church, this experience, the message bearing, the healing, everything is in here that we do is designed to help you with your knowing. Millie's classes are the ultimate in knowing and experiencing. I was raised a Methodist and never really felt like I had anything I could sink my teeth into. Probably wasn't the Methodist's fault. Probably the fault was with me. And finally, when I found this church, I found something that was experiential. Something I could get my teeth in and go, now I understand. Now I understand the knowing. And that knowing is what transforms everything. Until we get that, you know, it's just mental gymnastics. And for a long time, I didn't have that faith that I really wanted. And I didn't realize the relationship with our angel friends and our spirit guides that have passed, the people that have passed before. But something said, well, you know what, if I want to have faith, I'm going to ask for it. And so I prayed that I would have faith. And lo and behold, before I knew it, I was just feeling faith. And I knew that it was something that I had to choose. So as we go through life, we're making choices all the time. And these choices are what help create our experience. We bring things into form, and they're here for a while, and they go away. So your choices are what's going to help set up your future. We create our future with every choice we make. So what choices are we making? Are we consistent? I know I'm not. It's hard for me to be consistent and to really keep going, but when I get present to it and I start understanding that, these choices are that law of attraction. I'm sitting there and plucking the strings. You know, they talk about the string theory in physics now, the super strings, and there's probably 16 different dimensions and all that stuff. Well, those super strings are just things that we create, and our thoughts will pluck those strings and send them into vibration and start creating. So every one of the thoughts that we have is creational. Every one of those negative thoughts you have is creational. And it's one thing they don't talk about in The Secret. They're talking about the law of attraction. Well, there's another law called the law of paradoxical attraction. And the minute we get negative, that's when that law comes into effect. So the minute you go, you're having great, and you're excited, and you're, you know what, I've got this great job, and I want to have this beautiful house and a relationship and all those things. And then the minute we go, oh, you know what, I don't deserve that. I'm not good enough. It'll never happen for me. That's the law of paradoxical attraction. The minute we do that, it just brings those other great thoughts that we have, just kills them. And that's why we get back to this creating with every thought we have and trying to be positive and keep building on it. So in doing that, and what we speak is so powerful. For those of you, a lot of you guys, I'm sure have read Don Ruiz's The Four Agreements. There we go. And one of the important ones to me, I mean, they're all great, but the one that keeps resonating with me is be impeccable with your word. And it doesn't mean that you only speak truth, that you don't lie. It also means that you don't leave somebody with a wrong impression. That you are gentle with yourself. When you do something incredibly stupid, you know how we all do that every once in a while, where you'll be walking, you'll drop something and go, and my favorite was all, and I've cleaned it up over the years, but it sort of had morphed into, oh, you idiot. And the energy I could get into the word idiot. I mean, it was just, it was huge. And I realized that's not being impeccable with my word, because it doesn't help me. It's setting up that negative energy for myself. He also talks in there about when we speak, we can either be a white magician or a black magician. And if we're gossiping or running people down or being negative, that's the black magic side of it. But if we are speaking from love and praising others and really being supportive and having wonderful thoughts, and we're being white magic, and that's where we really need to be. Because all this stuff affects us. It affects our energy. And it's so wonderful that all this is coming out, and The Secret, I think, has done so much to get this out in everybody's mindset, and we need to really start looking at what we do every moment of every day. Now, it's really hard to be present every moment of every day, but that's where you make so much growth and so much faster acceleration into spirit and your spiritual path by really watching what's coming out of your mouth. I don't know if any of you saw the Celestine Prophecy. They have a great scene in there where there's a man who's trying to manipulate the situation to his own advantage. And they show the two men their energy, and the one energy is from the guy who's trying to manipulate, trying to overtake the other man's energy. And that's, again, that type of black magic where we're trying to control other people. We're trying to make them better, or, you know, I just look back at what we've done, male and female relationships, and how we get in a relationship, and one's trying, oh, you know, he'd be so much better if he did this or didn't do that, or if he dressed this way, or she ought to not say this and stuff, and we're all tied up in fixing everybody else. And if we would just let them be and honor them for who they are, it's so much more peaceful. It's really choosing peace. And we end up going out on this external journey when all of our answers are internal. And we can't find somebody else who's going to fix our problems. I may be lousy at math and hope that, oh, well, Sylvia's great at math. She'll be my, you know, she'll take care of that for me. But it's not taking care of it. It's just putting a patch on things. And we need to really be honoring ourselves and be loving to ourselves. I read in the book, they say, if you want to do an interesting experiment, stand in front of the mirror and look yourself in the eyes. You just look yourself in the eyes for 5 minutes. I thought, okay, great. So I got up there, and it was like I was a cop. And I came up there and said, all right, who's in there? Come on out. I know you're in there. Come on. And I found it so difficult to look myself in the eyes because I realized I wasn't being loving to myself. I was just kind of looking at myself, and I'm like, yeah, I can't. Look at all the wrinkles. And, oh, man. Look at the hair that used to be up there. You know, it's just not, I wasn't coming from a loving space. And then I read another passage that said, give yourself a mantra and love yourself and say to yourself, I love you, I believe in you, and everything's going to turn out beautifully. And it floored me because I'm 57 years old and I never had, up until that point, said to myself, I love you. That's one of the most important things I've ever done. It made a huge difference in my heart. You want your gates of your heart to swing open and feel that energy come pouring out. Look at yourself and mean it and say, I love you and I believe in you. And everything's going to be just turn out wonderfully. We get to be our own cheerleaders. And if we cheer for ourselves and quit worrying about everybody else, we can transform this world. And I'll leave you with my favorite quote, which is from Gandhi, who says, be the change in the world you wish to see. And it's such a powerful, powerful quote. So whatever it is, whatever your vision of the world is, be that and work towards that. And just thank the Lord we have this young lady up here that creates this space for us week after week. Thank you.